إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a servant and his messenger. This evening, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, this is our fourth session, reading on the topic of awamil islah al-mujtama'i, yani the essential principles of social rectification, yani the rectification of the society, the correction, reformation, improvement of the society. By al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Abdullah ibn Baz, rahimahullah, rahmatan wasi'a. Tonight, the topic that we're going to talk about flows directly from what we stopped on last week. But before we do that, we want to just kind of quickly review some of the points that we covered last week so that yani we have a natural flow to the topic. Of course, we're going to look at the study guide from last week, study guide number 3. And there are just 6 questions. We're going to look at each of those questions, so that we get the benefit of reviewing what we covered last week, and also so that if anybody was absent last week, inshallah, they can also benefit from some of the main points that we covered. And likewise, so that you also have a chance to see what you have retained. The study guide is of the utmost importance for one who is serious about studying, to measure yourself, to see what you have retained from what we discussed previously. And it's very important that we comprehend what we are talking about, and that we retain from it the important points. And even sometimes some of the questions are for memorization, memorize an ayat or memorize a hadith or a principle. And this is also of the utmost importance that we begin to memorize, even for the old people. And alhamdulillah, even we should try to memorize. Most of the memorization is very short. Okay, as far as last week, the study guide number 3, the first question discussed the response of the pagans to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's call to tawheed, as mentioned by Allah in Surah As-Sad, 38th Surah, 5th Ayat. Before anybody answers this question, I want to note that I'm looking for 3 parts in this answer, the pagans' response. I'm looking for 3 matters. Okay, so I'm going to just give you a warning, that's all. Okay, now we're going to start with the Umar. Pagan's response to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's call to tawheed, as mentioned in this particular ayah in Surah As-Sa'd. Now,
their response was, praise the say, وَقَالُوا سَاحِرٌ كَذَّابٌ.
They call,
and
that's another ayah.
The one after that is,
the ayah that we're looking at right here is Surah As-Sa'd, 38th Surah, 5th Ayat. Now, go ahead.
Can I
ask? Okay, go ahead, finish. This is what we're looking for. Yani, what did they say? They said, in response to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's call, calling them to worship Allah alone, they said, has he made the Aliha, all the gods that we have, into one god? There's only one god? Huh? That was their, that's what they said. So, now, what else? Now, Naam. Whenever it was said to them, there's nothing that deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, they were? They were arrogant. They were arrogant. They rejected it out of arrogance. They rejected it out of arrogance. What they said, has he made all of the gods, any of the many, many, many gods that they had, probably hundreds of gods, right? Has he made them all into one? One more point that the Shaykh Al-Imam Abdul Aziz bin Baz, he mentions concerning this matter of their response. Naam Abdul Karim. Okay, in the ayat, Allah mentions that they said this is a curious, strange thing, yani that all of the gods should be made into one god. Yani all these gods that are dealing with, yani so many different affairs, one god is going to deal with all of that? Naam.
The Sheikh said that the Quraysh or the people were not accustomed to the culture of one god overpowering everything. Feeding everything. So
now,
they didn't believe in that concept.
They were not accustomed. This was not what they were accustomed to. This was not something that they were accustomed to, that there's one God that takes care of everything, that takes care of all affairs, feeds all people, takes care of everything, has power over everything. They were not accustomed to this. And he said also, Yani, Abdullah, and this was not something that they found their forefathers. This was not something that they found their aslaf, their forefathers, upon. And this is very important, that it was something that they themselves were not accustomed to. It was strange to them. And it wasn't what they found their forefathers upon. And people follow what their forefathers are upon. Any people are Christians because their parents or their grandparents were Christians. They are, yani, whatever. Whatever they follow. Whether it's Hinduism, Buddhism, yani, Protestant, Catholic, whatever. People usually follow whatever they found their ancestors upon, their parents, their grandparents, and so on. And this was not what they found them upon. Therefore, they found it to be something strange, and they, out of arrogance and pride, without examining it carefully, they rejected it. They rejected it. Now, Walaikum Salaam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How's the traffic? Abdul Halim just came from Long Island. Allah make it easy for you. Tayyib, second question. Discuss the evil consequences of the leniency or the negligence of many of the scholars and students of knowledge towards at Tawheed. Naam, Ibrahim. Intashara Shaykh fil Buldan kathira. Yani, the shirk, yani, it was spread into many lands. It was spread into many lands. Why? Because many of the scholars and students of knowledge, they were lenient, they were negligent in this matter of the importance of Tawheed. They were negligent of it. And today we find the same thing right now today. Many of the people of knowledge, they're negligent about this. It's not that important. And because of that, shirk is widespread in the Muslim lands. Not to mention in the Kafir lands. Of course, their origin, their asal is shirk, right? But the Muslim lands, it's widespread in the Muslim lands. Widespread. I'm not saying there's a few people doing shirk. Rather, it's widespread in the Muslim lands. In almost all of the Muslim lands. Naam, what else? Naam. Naam, thank you. Have mercy on this brother. And the graves, the places where people are buried, and those who are buried in the grave, the dead, have been worshipped instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, yani, much of the worship that belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been directed to other than Him. To other than Him. Because of the negligence of the people who knew, yani, at-tawheed. And so the people, yani, fell into that which the Quraysh was upon, and the pagans of all eras were upon, yani, worshipping other than Allah, glorifying them, exalting them, calling upon them, yani, in need, and so on and so on. This is what the people fell into. After Islam had came and established a Tawheed, after the Prophet ﷺ established a Tawheed. The third question, summarize the duty, yani the obligation upon the students of knowledge in light of the widespread evil mentioned above. Of course, this duty is upon the scholars first and foremost, but the point here is that not just the scholars, rather even the students of knowledge and all of the people of Sunnah, the people who really are people of Ahl Sunnah, they are students of knowledge. Because you can't be from the people of Sunnah and you don't give attention and care to seeking knowledge. That's not possible. To ascribe yourself to the Sunnah and you don't give care to knowledge. So summarize the duty and the obligation upon the students of knowledge in light of the widespread evil mentioned above. Naam. Ibrahim al-Fulani. Not al-Sudani.
It's obligatory upon them to begin with the most important firstly with Tawheed, following the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon the understanding of the Sahaba, and to believe that the Sahaba are the best of people after all the Prophets.
Now,
he said
that's a summary. Watch out, he's going to come back for you, right? Yani giving an ayah to Tawheed and also to the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his station and his status, and that he should be followed, and also to the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because we have to emphasize the call to Tawheed, and we have to emphasize that the Tawheed is implemented by following the Sunnah. But not only that, but we can't neglect the right, the station and the status of the best of humanity after the Prophets, that is the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in. You want to add something?
Before that.
Yes, thank you, mashallah. Before that. Yeah. Before that, yeah, Ibrahim. Abdul Haq.
Wa sidq.
Yani that they direct the Ummah with these three elements. The Shaykh mentioned three of them. The first of them he mentioned what? Al-Hikmah. That's critical. Especially in da'wah, right? Didn't Allah command us to call the people with hikmah? You have to have hikmah. You can't be involved in da'wah without hikmah. You don't know how to put things in their right place. Rather, just however I feel, anytime, anyway, it doesn't matter. Without hikmah, no. Everything has to be put in its proper place. And then he said, critical to anything that we do of good, he said, what? Second one? Al-Ikhlas. Any da'wah will never be successful. No act of worship will be accepted, except that a person does it with ikhlas. With ikhlas. But the Shaykh, he didn't stop there, and he added one more element of great importance, and that is as-sidq. As-sidq. That the people who have sincerity, they also have to have sidq. And we talked about this, and we'll come back to it. But sidq here, the general meaning of sidq, is what? Truthfulness. Being truthful in what they are doing, in what they are saying. That their intention is truthful, and their speech is truthful, and their action is truthful, in accordance with their speech. Now, the Shaykh said, he mentioned these three things, and then he said, as Ibrahim presented to us, giving care to the fundamental, the foundation, that is, the Tawheed, and that everything else has to follow this, and then the Prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he has to be followed, and then the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and their manhaj also has to be followed. Naam, the way of Sahaba has to be followed. This is a way for us, for the people of Sunnah. Question number 4, discuss Shaykh Hafiz Ahmed Al-Hakami rahimahullah's definition of ikhlas and sidq, explaining in his explaining of the shurut of ibadah. And we mentioned last week as a note, when he was explaining the shurut of ibadah, he said that one of them is the shart for wujud, and the other two is the shart for as-sihha. And from amongst them, he mentioned, the first of them, he mentioned as-sidq, and he also mentioned ikhlas, and he defined them in a way that I think is important. Now,
Shaykh says, sidq al-azima huwa shartun li wujudihi.
Naam.
Wa qala as-sidq tarku at-takasul wa at-tawani wa badlu al-juhd bi an yasdiq قوله بفعله
يصدق قوله مفعول به بفعله. نعم يا إبراهيم. You're supposed to say something about that. طيب, the meaning here, right? الصدق, صدق العزيمة. He said that it means, who can translate what he said? نعم يا إبراهيم.
تواني
Laziness, not being lazy in this da'wah, in this call for the reformation of the society, not being lazy, or tawani, indifference, get it done now or later or whenever, it's not that important. They have to abandon this laziness and indifference. And then on the other side of it,
the exerting of effort,
making an effort, a tremendous effort to do what? To prove the truthfulness of what he says by his actions. To prove the truthfulness of what you're saying by actions. And he quoted the ayah from the Quran that makes this point. What is it? Anybody? Aminu? Oh, you believe. Why do you say that which you don't do? Your actions prove the truthfulness of what you say. Your actions, yani this is the sidq. That the actions, yani what we are calling to, what we are yani calling the people to, yani the truthfulness of what we say is proven by our actions, that we act in accordance with what we say. This is critically important. As far as ikhlas, he said, Sheikh Hakimi, يعني that's the meaning of it, but he said ابتغاء وجه الله تعالى. نعم الحمد لله أحسنت ما شاء الله. And the meaning of this is that إخلاص, according to the Sheikh, somebody else translate.
Abdul
He elected you, but we don't let people elect other people. Somebody has to volunteer. Okay, تفضل.
The qasd, yani
the qasd, the intent,
the intention, yani the intention of the slave, but with all of his speech and action, be the seeking of the face of Allah Subhanahu.
That the qasd, the murad, the qasd, yani the intent of the worshipper, in everything, all of his speech and all of his actions, his intent has to be that he's seeking the face of Allah. That has to be the intent. That is what is meant by ikhlas. That everything that we say and everything that we do, the intent for it has to be that I'm seeking by it the face of Allah. Yani the face of Allah. That, yani the greatest pleasure that the believers will have in Jannah will be to see the face of Allah. This is what we are seeking. Yani Jannah. And seeing the face of Allah. Now, he mentioned the ayah that indeed the only thing that we are feeding you for is for the face of Allah. Yani we're not doing it. La nuridu minkum. We don't want any reward from this. Nor do we even want praise. Thanks. You don't have to thank us. Yani that, this is the one of the ayahs that the Shaykh mentioned in support of this meaning, that whatever we do, that we do it for the face of Allah. For the pleasure of Allah, to earn the reward of Allah. We do not want any reward, any compensation in this life from the people, nor do we even want thanks. And I thought that these, yani, these two points that Sheikh Hakimi, rahimahullah, yani, mentioned were of tremendous benefit in reference to the Sheikh Al-Imam Abdulaziz mentioning these matters, yani, al-hikmah wa sidq al-ikhlas, or al-ikhlas wa sidq. So, alhamdulillah, yani, this is a benefit that each of us can apply to ourselves, yani that we have to have ikhlas, we have to make sure that everything that we say and everything that we do, yani the intent behind it is that we're seeking the face of Allah. And sidq, yani that we have to make sure that what we are saying is not just that what I'm saying is true. When a person says la ilaha illallah, that's true for a fact. But the sidq here is not just that the words are true, but that the actions of that person are in agreement with those words. Because people can say La ilaha illallah all day, Muhammad Rasulullah, Islam is haq, Islam is the deen of Allah. But where are the actions that are in agreement with that? There are many people in the world, we don't have to go far, right here in America, right here in New York, who say they are Muslims, but their actions do not support what they're saying on their tongue. And this is what we have to fear, that we are saying something that our actions do not support. And every individual has to think about this. If we want to reform the society, yani, and that will be the second part of this course, and we have to start with ourselves. We have to reform ourselves. We have to purify ourselves. And that requires that when we say something, we have to believe it in our heart, and then we have to act in accordance with it. May Allah grant us success in this. The fifth question, memorize the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, which proves the superiority of Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in over all other generations. Nobody in the back? All way in the back? Tayyib ya Umar.
Al ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu ani nabi
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Khayrun nasi warni thumma alladhina yalunahum thumma alladhina yalunahum.
Tayyib. Huh? هكذا قال نعم صلى الله عليه وسلم هو narrated this hadith and who collected it الشيخان I'm not going to call everybody on that. Some people are going to call you on that. What's the meaning of this hadith? By the way, in case somebody didn't get it, yani, these people who are students of Arabic language, they have to say Arabic correctly. They have to say everything in Arabic correctly. Now.
The best of humanity is my ummah.
My generation.
My generation and those who follow them.
Anyway, the Prophet ﷺ said in clear language, khairun nas, the best of humanity, of all of humanity, yani other than the prophets and messengers, the best of humanity is my generation. Meaning those who believed in him, who believed in Allah and accepted his call, while yani in his time, in his lifetime, they were with him, they accompanied him. Those people are the best of humanity after the prophets and messengers, and then those who followed them, the next generation, and then those who followed them. And those who followed them were, those who followed Sahaba were? At-tabi'un. Naam. Al-asr anhum marfu'un. Now, at-tabi'un. And those who learned from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and those who came after them was? At-ba' tabi'in. Yani those who learned from the second generation. Naam. Finally, the last question, discuss briefly the maratib, the ranks of excellence among the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, yani amongst the Sahaba themselves. Yani what were the maratib? And the Shaykh Abdulaziz Ibn Baz rahimahullah, he mentioned yani just only two yani levels, and then we read from Shaykh Salih Fawzan hafidhullah yani more levels. How many levels did we mention last week? Who knows how many levels did we mention? Shaykh Salih Fawzan.
Two.
Keep going higher.
Five.
Five. Let's go. Let's see. What's the first level he mentioned, Ya Umar? Somebody said two, somebody said three, somebody said four, somebody said five. The first of them is Khulafa
Al-Rashidun
Al-Arba. Naam. Yani the four rightly guided caliphs. They are who? Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali. In that order. Yani the most excellent of them is in that order, the order of Khilafah. This is the manhaj of Ahlul Sunnah. That the best of them were the best in order of the Khilafah. Abu Bakr and then Umar and then Uthman and Ali radiallahu anhum ajma'in. The second level that the Shaykh mentioned? Baqi al-Ashara. Yani the remaining from the ten. Because those four are from the ten who were promised paradise. So the next level are those who remain from the ten who are, anybody give me one of them? Talha ibn Ubaidullah. Who he said? Az-Zubair ibn Awam. That's two. Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas.
Aminu
hadhi al-umma.
Abu Ubaida Amir ibn al-Jarrah.
Naam, Abu Ubaida Amir ibn al-Jarrah. That's four.
Abdurrahman ibn Auf.
Sa'id ibn Zayd. And Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Third level. That Shaykh Salih Fawzan, Hafidhullah, mentioned. Ahlul Badr, the people who fought in the Battle of Badr. Fourth level. Bayat al-Ridwan, the people who gave the pledge of allegiance to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam under the tree. That's four.
And those who accepted Islam before the conquest of Makkah.
Before the conquest. The conquest in this ayat, Qabla al-Fath, what is the conquest? Sulh Hudaybiyah. The conquest in this ayat is Sulh Hudaybiyah, the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. Those who believed, yani who fought before the Fath, yani the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, and then the last level he mentioned?
Al-Muhajirun
Umuman, Thumma Al-Ansar. Yani outside of those previous categories, the best of the companions are the Muhajirun, generally. And then the Ansar. Anyway, like I said, the Shaykh Salih Fawzan, Hafidhullah, what he wrote in the explanation of Aqidah, Al-Tahawiyyah, in this chapter is tremendous, of great, great benefit. One brother said he went back and read it, and mashallah, he was yani, grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for taking him back to that. Okay, let's look at what we have for tonight. We're going to finish yani, from that point. That was the last point that we read last week, yani the levels of excellence of the Sahaba. And then Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz, he follows that by saying, فَوَجَبَ أَن نَعْنِيَ بِهَذَا الْأَسَاسِي وَأَن نَدْعُوَ النَّاسَ إِلَى تَوْهِيدِ اللَّهِ وَإِخْلَاصِ الْعِبَادَةِ لَهُ. It is obligatory upon us to give care and attention to this asas, to this foundation. What foundation?
Tawheed.
A Tawheed. A Tawheed. This foundation, a Tawheed. Yani the calling to Tawheed is one of the awamil of Islah al-Mujtama'a. Yani it's the most important, the first and foremost of all of the elements or the factors or the principles for the rectification or the reformation of the society. It is calling the establishment of a Tawheed. He said, so it is obligatory for us to give care to this foundation and to call the people to the Tawheed of Allah and Ikhlas al-Ibadah for Him. Yani, and to call the people to the Tawheed of Allah, that Allah is one, that Allah is alone, that Allah is unique, and there is nothing like Him or equal to Him. And the making of all worship purely for Allah alone. Not just the declaration that Allah is the only supreme being, but actually making sure that all worship is directed to Him alone. وَأَنْ لَا نَغْلُوا فِي الْقُبُورِ وَالْأَنْبِيَاءِ وَالْأَوْلِيَاءِ وَنَعْبُدَهُمْ مَعَ اللَّهِ. And that we do not exaggerate, الغلو, that we not, do not fall into exaggeration of the graves. Yani the people who are in the graves. Not even the prophets, not even the awliya of Allah. That we don't put them above their station, and therefore after that worship them along with Allah. And this is one of the greatest contradictions to a Tawheed, that the people, yani, fell into al-ghulu, exaggeration, in terms of the prophets or the saints or others than anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we found some of the people going to the grave and saying, there's a saint buried here, and he was a great saint, and he did this, and he did that, and he did whatever, and they fell into ghulu. And therefore they said, let's call on him. He's so great, and he's so magnificent, and he has such a high status, we can call on him to yani, get to Allah. He said, we have to avoid this. We cannot fall into this. Not even with prophets. Not even with the awliya of Allah. That we worship them along with Allah, and that we then direct to them the worship that belongs to Allah, such as the Shaykh said, dua, khawf, raja, and whatever is like that. Yani, that we supplicate to them, that we have fear of them like we should have fear of Allah alone, or that we have hope in them. I hope that this one is going to be able to help me. And that belongs to Allah alone. This is worship that belongs to Allah alone. Our hope has to be in Allah alone. Our fear has to be in Allah alone. And our calling for help, for needs, whatever it is, has to be to Allah alone. وَيَجِبُ عَلَى طَالِبُ الْعِلْمِ وَعَلَى الْقَائِدِ أَنْ يُعَظِّمَ أَمْرَ اللَّهِ وَنَحْيَهُ. And it is also obligatory that the students of knowledge, not to mention the scholars, and the qaid, the leader, or the leaders in the society, that they exalt, that they honor, that they hold high the commands of Allah and, the, and His prohibitions. Yani that we consider this to be of the utmost importance. Allah has commanded this. Allah has prohibited this. No matter what is going on in the society that we are living in, Allah's command has to have the highest place in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives. That this is what Allah has commanded. This is what Allah has prohibited. If we don't do that, then we'll become lax. First with the commands and prohibitions, and then with that which is worse, that is the worship that belongs to Allah alone. And then everything is destroyed. He said, وَأَنْ يَسْتَقِرَّ خَوْفُ اللَّهِ فِي قَلْبِهِ فَوْقَ جِمِيَ الْأَشْيَاءِ. And that the fear of Allah has to be settled, firmly established in the heart of the caller, of the da'i, of the talib al-ilm, of the alim, of the person who's trying to establish tawheed, who's trying to reform the society. The fear of Allah has to be established in that heart of that person. Yani no matter what you think to say or do, whatever situation may be, the fear of Allah has to be there foremost, above and beyond everything else. So that this will dictate your behavior, and that you honor, you exalt, you hold high the command of Allah and His prohibition, and that you do not pay attention. La yubali. Don't give care. Don't be concerned about the lies of the people who spread lies against the truth and against the people of truth. And those people are so many kinds of people. Yani all types of disbelievers and other people, even from amongst the Muslims, who spread lies against the truth, naam, and against the people of truth. They are not just al-kuffar, wal-mushrikun. Rather, even from amongst the Muslims, there are those who spread lies against the truth. I heard a brother saying that a Muslim lawyer, educated person, an attorney, that he wrote some writing just last week saying that the man who died recently, the president, 41st president of the United States, that he was a mu'min. And that he's in Jannah. Firdaus al-A'la. A Muslim. Attorney. These are people who spread lies against the haq. Pure falsehood. And lies against the people of truth. And then there are, so it's not just the other people outside of Islam, but even amongst the Muslims. And unfortunately, sometimes there are people amongst our ranks who sit amongst the people of Sunnah and who identify, who wave flags. And they also attacked the truth and the Ahlul Haq. Naam. Under the guise of whatever. I wasn't there, but one of the brothers who's probably here right now, he said there was a conference in which the theme of the conference was, let's backbite for the sake of Allah. Don't laugh, that's not funny. Wallahi, that's serious. This is the kind of thing that can go over the heads of the people who don't know any better. And the people go for it. Because they exalt these people instead of exalting the deen of Allah, the command of Allah, and the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. So it became easy for people to backbite the Muslims. Backbite even not the Ahl Bidah, the people of Sunnah. Backbite them and slander them and lie on them. And a man brought me a report, and I don't want to get sidetracked, but a man, he's a Muslim, he brought me a report about some people, and these are not people that I particularly care for, but I had to tell him, brother, I don't believe that. I don't believe those people said that. They might say some ridiculous stuff, but I don't believe they can say that. And the reason why we have to sometimes stop and don't let people spread anything against the Muslims, just because you don't know them, or just because you don't like them. So whatever people say about them, yalla, go ahead with it. I'll pass it on even. We cannot do this, brothers. We cannot do this. Backbiting is haram. And if there are some situations in which it's permissible to say something that's true about a person, yani, in the cases where it's permissible, then there's a legislative reason for that. Yani, a man wants to marry a woman, and you are the one who knows that that man beats his wives. Then you have to say something to the guardian of that woman. You have to tell him. You can't just let that happen. If he doesn't listen, that's up to him. And that happens sometimes because the person wants to marry somebody to somebody, their daughter or their sister or their mother or whatever, and then they don't listen. And then the calamity befalls them. But if nobody said anything, that would be worse because you didn't even warn them. It's incumbent sometimes to say something, but it has to be with a legislative basis. We cannot just backbite people because we don't like them or because we don't know them. Because that's what happens a lot. We don't know those people. We can say anything about them. And people just take it. Because you don't know them. If somebody you knew, you might stop them. Or somebody you don't like, that's even better. People can say anything they want to say about the people you don't like. And we accept it. No, that's not the way of Islam. That's not the way of Islam. Yani, don't care for the people who spread lies against the haq. Don't worry about them. Don't be concerned with that. Why? ثِقَةً بِاللَّهِ وَالتَّصْدِيقًا لِمَا وَعَدَ رَسُولُهُ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَكَافَةُ الرُّسُولِ كَمَا فِي قَوْلِهِ جَلَّ وَعَلَى أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِرُسُلِهِمْ لَنُخْرِجَنَّكُمْ مِنْ أَرْضِنَا أَوْ لَتَعُودُنَّ فِي مِلَّتِنَا. That is the first part of the ayah. The Shaykh said, yani, why is it that we shouldn't be worried about these people who are against the truth, who lie against the truth, who spread lies against the people of truth? ثِقَةً بِاللَّهِ, because we have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't worry about them. Put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is sufficient for the believers. That's a fact. No matter, even if we're in a non-Muslim society and the odds are against us, have trust in Allah. Don't worry about these people. Whatever they say, don't worry about it. Trust in Allah. وَتَصْدِيقًا, and believing in the truthfulness of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what He promised all of the messengers alayhi wa sallam, as in the saying of Allah jalla wa ala, yani Allah mentions, and those who disbelieve, they said to their messengers, yani to the people who were sent to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save them. They threatened them. And they said to them, we will remove you from our land. Yani, they are from that land also. We will remove you from our land, as though the land belongs to them. Naam. Or, yani, the only other option is that you return to our millah. Come back to our false religion. If not, we will remove you from the land. فَأَوْهَا إِلَيْهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ لَنُحْلِكَنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ. Then Allah revealed to them, yani our Rabb, yani their Rabb revealed to them that indeed we will definitely لَنُحْلِكَنَّ لَمْ yani تَأْكِيد وَنُونَ تَأْكِيد definitely, certainly we will destroy the ظَالِمُونَ, the wrongdoers, the oppressors, yani the mushrikun. Because ظُلْم in the Quran, mostly it means the ظَالِم is the mushrik. That's the greatest ظُلْم. And most of the time in the Quran, the ظَالِم is mentioned, it means the mushrik. Allah said, we will destroy the ظَالِمُونَ. Yani with all kinds of punishments. وَلَنُسْكِنَنَّكُمُ الْأَرْضَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ. And we will place you to reside in the earth after they are removed. And Allah said, He will remove them from the earth. They will remove the believers. Allah said, He will destroy them. And He will make the believers to reside in the earth after He has removed them. ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامِ وَخَافَ وَعِيدٍ. And that is for the one who fears my maqam, yani the standing before me, and who fears the wa'id, yani the wa'id, the threat, yani the wa'id, yani the wa'ad is the promise of Allah, and the wa'id is the threat of Allah. And when Allah makes a promise, He will definitely keep it. And when Allah makes a threat, He might, yani keep it, He has the ability to, or He might, yani pardon the people. This promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He will destroy the ظالمين and He will place the believers in the land after He has removed the ظالمون, this is a promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those who fear standing before Him and those who fear His threat of punishment for those who disbelieve and who disobey. Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir rahimahullah, he says concerning this ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us about the threat of the disbelievers to their messengers, to remove them from the land, and to exile them, yani to remove them from there, from amongst them, to kick them out of the land. And then he says, Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir rahimahullah, he says, yani this is for those who, لِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامِ وَخَافَ وَعِيدِ أي وَعِيدِ, yani the promise, wa'id here means wa'idi, the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is for those who fear, يعني مقامي بين يدي يوم القيامة. يعني those who fear the standing before Allah on the day of judgment. يعني those who in this world fear, who think about there's a day of standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this world they are considering that. They are thinking about that. وَخَشِيَ مِنْ وَعِيدِي وَهُوَ تَخْوِيفِي وَعَذَابِي. And they fear Allah's threat. That is, يعني His punishment that He threatens them with. Shaykh Al-Sa'di, he said, yani here, very important point, he said, in reference to the earlier part of this, yani end of this ayat, that we will put the believers in the land after removing the disbelievers, he said, Al-Aqiba Al-Hasana Allati Ja'alaha Allah Lirrusul Waman Tabi'ahum Jaza'an. Yani that Allah will cause the believers to reside in the land after those people who threaten to remove them, he said, this is Al-Aqiba Al-Hasana. This is the good end. Yani if it looks gloomy right now, know that the end, the good end, is for the believers. Allah has made this for His messengers, and He has made this promise for whoever follows them. This is their reward. That in the end, the good end will be for those who believe. He said, those who fear my maqami, yani, he said, in the dunya, they feared standing before Allah, so they considered, they thought about Allah. راقب الله مراقبة من يعلم أنه يراه. Yani they, in every situation they thought, they remembered that Allah is watching them. In every situation, they are conscious of the fact that Allah is seeing them. That Allah sees what we do, and He hears what we say, and He knows what is in our hearts. Yani this is what he said, the meaning of those who fear the standing before Allah, meaning that they have muraqabah to Allah. They are conscious of Allah. They are aware that Allah is seeing, that Allah is hearing, that Allah knows what they are doing. This is, al-muraqabah is one of the great foundations of Islam, yani that a Muslim is in need of, yani all of our life, all of our life, all the time. And then the Shaykh, he says, yani Shaykh Sa'adi, rahimahullah, he said, those who fear my maqam and those who fear my wa'id, yani that which I have threatened those who disobey me, he said, فَأَوْجَبَ لَهُ ذَلِكَ الْإِنْكِفَافِ أَمَّا يَقْرَهُهُ اللَّهِ وَالْمُبَادَرَةِ إِلَى مَا يُحِبُّهُ اللَّهِ. This consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fear of standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fear of His punishment, this is what makes obligatory, necessary, mandatory for that person who has this to refrain, to hold back from that which Allah dislikes. And to hasten, al-mubadara, to hasten forward to doing that which Allah loves. The person who has this state of mind, this heart, this is what caused the person to refrain from doing that which is disliked by Allah. And to hasten forward to do that which Allah loves. The Shaykh says, فَطَالِبُ الْعِلْمِ العالم الموجه القائد البصير لا يبالي بإرجاف عباد القبور. So the student of knowledge, the scholar, the people who are the guides for the society, the القائد البصير, يعني the leader that has insight into the affairs, who understands the affairs, they don't have concern for the lies that are spread by the worshippers of the graves. The grave worshippers, they don't have concern, they are not worried about this. They are not worried about the lies that are spread by the kharrafiyin. And those people who, the basis of their religion is based upon falsehoods, superstitions. They just have superstitious beliefs, they have no basis in Islam. And they are not concerned about the lies that are spread by whoever it may be that oppose Islam of whatever type they are, whatever group they are from. And we are not concerned about this. بَلْ يَصْمَدْ فِي الْمَيْدَانِ. But rather, the one who is calling to Tawheed, calling to Islam, trying to rectify the society, must be firm in the field of Dawah, in the field of Reformation, must be firm upon their stand, not weak, going one way and another, must be firm. وَيَصْبِرْ. They must have patience in the face of difficulties, some failures, loss, whatever it might be, must have patience. وَيُعَلِّقْ قَلْبَهُ بِاللَّهِ. And this is critical here, that his heart or her heart must be connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something that we have to ask ourselves, where's my heart at? And I know that Islam is the truth, I am seeking knowledge, I do want to call to Islam and reform the society, but where is your heart at? And the heart has to be connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to ask ourselves where our hearts. We have to make sure that we are striving to make our hearts to be connected to Allah, wa yakhafuhu subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to have hope from Him for the help, the support, the victory. Wa yarju minhu an-nasr. Yani, we don't think that we're going to be successful because we are so smart, because we are so brave, because we are so whatever. But rather our hope is what? That the victory is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَهُوَ النَّاصِرُ وَهُوَ الْوَلِيُّ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Yani Allah, He is the Nasir. He is the one who grants us help, who will grant us victory. He is the Wali, yani the one that we leave, that we accept to be in charge of our affair, to take care of us. وَقَدْ وَعَدَ أَنْ يَنْصُرَ مَنْ يَنْصُرُهُ. And He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Nasir, the Wali, the Mawla, He is the one who has promised to support, to help, to grant victory to the one who supports and helps him. Yani, supports his deen. Allah has promised that. And then the Shaykh, he mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Muhammad, 47th Surah, 7th Ayat. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن تَنْصُرُوا اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ. O you who believe, if you help Allah, yani if you help support the deen of Allah, the cause of Allah, then Allah will help you and Allah will make your feet firm. Yani the general meaning in the books of tafsir, yani إِن تَنْصُرُوا اللَّهَ, the meaning is, yani, that you support his deen and you support his messenger. That's the general meaning. Then Allah will support you against your enemies, and He will make you firm. He will make firm your feet on the battlefield. Shaykh Abdul Rahman Al-Sa'di gives a detailed explanation of what is the meaning of in Tansurullah. The Shaykh, he says, Rahimahullah, هذا الأمر منه تعالى للمؤمنين, that Allah, this is the command from Allah to the believers. Listen to this. He said, this is the command. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن تَنْصُرُوا اللَّهَ. This is shart. The Shaykh is saying, that's the command. That Allah is commanding us to support the deen of Allah. And then He will support us. Help the deen of Allah. He said, this is the command. That you support Allah. How do you support Allah? بِالْقِيَامِ بِدِينِهِ وَالدَّعْوَ إِلَيْهِ وَالْجِهَادِ أَعْدَاءَهُ وَالْجِهَادِ أَعْدَائِهِ وَالْقَصْدِ بِذَلِكَ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ وَالْقَصْدِ بِذَلِكَ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. يعني that the supporting, يعني من إن تنصر الله, it means that you support Allah by establishing His deen, by fulfilling the obligations that this deen place upon you, and calling to this deen, and making jihad against the enemies of this deen. And then he said, and the qasd, yani the niyyah in doing all of that, has to be for the face of Allah. Yani it's not enough just to strive and struggle in the way of Allah, to work in da'wah and to do whatever and such and so and so. All of that is wasted if the qasd, the niyyah, is not the wajh of Allah. So if they do that, then Allah will help them, and Allah will make their feet firm. Meaning He will tie their hearts tight, yani with patience and tranquility and firmness. And He will also grant patience to their bodies, physically to be able to bear what is in front of them, and He will help them against their enemies. وَهَذَا فَهَذَا وَعَدُ مِنْ كَرِيمْ صَادِقْ الْوَعَدِ. And this is the promise from the one who is generous in giving, and the one who is truthful in his promise. And that is, that whoever supports his deen with their speech and with their actions, their Mawla, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will support and help them. And He will make the means, the asbab and nasr, easy for them. And He will also make al-thabat, firmness, easy for them, and other than that. And Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah, he also said, yani the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَكَانَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نَصْرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, Surah Al-Rum, 30th Surah, 47th Ayat, وَكَانَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, it is incumbent, obligatory upon us to help and to support the believers. Yani here the Shaykh, rahimahullah, he's reminding us what? That whatever we are faced with in the effort to reform the society, to establish Islam, to establish Tawheed, to establish the Sunnah, whatever we are confronted with, Allah has promised that He will support the believers. That if you support His deen, He will support you. If you help His deen, He will help you. He said, it is haqqan alayna. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, it is a right, an obligation upon us to support the believers. Yani to support the believers against their enemies by destroying them and saving the believers. Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir says, كَانَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نَصْرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. The meaning of this is that it is حَقٌّ أَوْجَبُهُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الْكَرِيمَةِ تَقَرُّمًا وَتَفْضِيلًا. Yani it is an obligation upon us, upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to support the believers. He said it is an obligation that Allah has made obligatory upon Himself. That Allah made obligatory upon Himself. Yani out of His generosity and His favor, His bounty upon the people. Allah is not obligated to do anything, but He said, I made it obligatory upon myself to support the believers. Shaykh Sa'di said the same thing. He said, أَوْجَبْنَا ذَلِكَ عَلَى أَنفُسِنَا. Yani that Allah made this obligatory upon Himself, and that He made it from amongst al-haq al-muta'ayyina, yani from al-huquq, yani from amongst those rights that must be fulfilled. Allah made it as from amongst those rights that must, there are things that must happen, that must take place. He made this from amongst those things. And then the Shaykh says that the meaning of this ayat is that Allah is saying, وَعَدَنَاهُمْ بِهِ فَلَابُدَّ مِنْ وُقُوَيْهِ, that we have promised them this, therefore it must happen. Allah has promised it, therefore it must happen. It's not like the promise of a human being, the king or the president, who said, yani, if you lie for me, I'll pardon you. He might pardon you, he might not. Huh? But Allah said, He has promised this, therefore it must happen. There's no doubt about it. And then the Shaykh, he says, وَلَكِنْ بِشَرْطِ, and this is yani critical. Yani the support of Allah, yani it must happen. Allah has promised it for the believers. لَكِنْ بِشَرْطِ, but there is a condition in order for this to happen. وَهُوَ التَّمَسُّقْ بِدِينِ اللَّهِ, وَهُوَ التَّمَسُّقْ بِدِينِ اللَّهِ, and that is that you hold fast to the deen of Allah. Yani is it just because the people are Muslims, khalas, Allah is going to grant them victory? La, بِشَرْط, that we hold fast to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْإِيمَانُ بِهِ, وَالْإِيمَانُ بِهِ, وَالْإِيمَانُ بِرَسُولِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَالْإِسْتِقَامَةُ عَلَى دِينِ اللَّهِ. Yani the condition that must be fulfilled in order for the help of Allah and the victory of Allah for the believers is that the believers must hold fast to the deen of Allah. And they must have iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all that that entails. Iman in Allah, in all that it entails. It's not just speech on the tongue. It's not just actions that are done openly. But rather has to start in the heart. The iman in Allah starts in the heart. It's expressed on the tongue and it's manifested by actions that are in accordance with what that iman demands of the people. Wal iman bi rasulihi, and also from the condition for the help of Allah and the success is that we believe in Allah and we believe in His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the Shaykh said what seals all of this meaning, he said, wal istiqamatu ala deenillah. Wal istiqamatu ala deenillah. And istiqama ala deenillah means what? Being firm, upright, steadfast, obedient. Now, yani, in Madaris al-Salikin, Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, he gives a long discussion concerning al-istiqama. Whoever is able to go back and read it, it will be beneficial for sure. He mentions a lot of the sayings of the Salaf. And he mentions ayahs from the Quran, he mentions hadith, and he mentions what Abu Bakr as-Siddiq said about what is the meaning of istiqama. He said what Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu said, what is istiqama? What Uthman, what Ali radiallahu anhu, and so many people from the Salaf, he mentions what they said is istiqama. In any case, there's a lot of meanings of istiqama. From amongst them, Ibn Qayyim says, man of istiqama, and this is in Madaris al-Salikin, he said, وَهِيَ السَّدَاد وَالْإِصَابَةِ, هِيَ السَّدَادُ وَالْإِصَابَةُ فِي النِّيَّاتِ وَالْأَقْوَالِ وَالْأَعْمَالِ. Yani what is istiqama? He said in summary of all that he mentioned previous to this statement, he said al-istiqama, it is al-sadad wal-isaba. Yani al-sadad means being right on point, on the mark. Al-isaba, yani hitting the target in the, what do they call it? The middle? Bullseye. I don't know where that word came from. I guess that's why I was a little hesitant to say it. I don't know what that means really. But the point is, right, al-isaba means you hit the mark right on it. He said al-istiqama is al-sadad wal-isaba, hitting the mark, being right on point in the niyat, intentions, wal-aqwal wal-afal wa-amal. Yani in the sayings and in the actions, in our intentions and in our sayings, our speech, and in our actions, being on the mark. Ibn Rajab in Jami al-Ulum al-Hikm, and this is a tremendous book, ajib book, explanation of 40 hadith plus 10, Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali rahimahullah. And in that book, Jami al-Ulum al-Hikm, and there are a few translations of it. I don't know which one is better than the other. Most of them are not good, but in any case, probably is still benefiting it. Jami Ulum al-Hikm. He said in that book that al-istiqama is suluq al-sirat al-mustaqim. وهو الدين القيم. يعني traveling the straight path. الاستقامة is traveling on the straight path. الصراط المستقيم. وهو الدين القيم. يعني الصراط المستقيم, it is the upright deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. من غير تأويج, without any crookedness, عنه يمنة ولا يسرة. يعني that a person travels upon the straight path, the upright deen, without any crookedness, from the straight path, not even going a little bit to the right, nor a little bit to the left. يعني من غير تأويج عنه يمنة ولا يسرة. ويشمل ذلك فعل الطاعات كلها الظاهرة والباطنة وترك المنهيات كلها كذلك. يعني أي الظاهر والباطنة. يعني this includes, encompasses, يعني this traveling upon the straight path without any crookedness in it, without going a little bit to the right or to the left. He said يشمل ذلك فعل الطاعات كلها. It means it includes the doing of all acts of obedience. الطاعات كلها. All acts of obedience. Whatever Allah has ordered us with, we are obedient to Him in it. ظاهر والباطنة. يعني inwardly and outwardly. Meaning the actions of the heart as well as the actions of the limbs of the body. And that is important that this is given in the definition الباطنة والظاهرة. Because some people are doing the outward actions, making the prayer, standing in congregation, coming to the masjid, all of that. But what's happening inside? وترك المنهيات كلها, and leaving everything that has been prohibited. Leaving everything that has been prohibited. Not just alcohol and pork and riba and illegal sexual relations, everything that has been prohibited. Wallahi, there are some things that have been prohibited that if it came to some of us, we might say, I have to think about it. May Allah save us from saying that. May Allah save us from thinking that. Once we know that Allah has prohibited something, it doesn't matter what our situation is. I remember a brother asked me about a certain situation, and I just found a fatwa from some of the scholars, and I said, this is what they said about it. I was even hesitant to say that this is haram, because I know that this could be a trial for a person. So I don't want to say it's haram. I just said this is what the scholars said. Scholars said it's haram. I just give the fatwa, the fatawa. And the brother said, khalas, it's over then. That's what we ask Allah for. Abandoning all the things that have been prohibited. كذلك, يعني in the same way. الظاهر والباطنة. يعني شيخ الإمام ابن القيم رحمه الله, he mentioned a lot of points concerning this. I'm just gonna, I don't know, time is really getting close right now. Okay, so I'm just gonna mention two points maybe, and then I'm gonna read the fatwa of Sheikh Abdulaziz ibn Baz himself concerning al-istiqama. But from the things that the Sheikh mentioned concerning al-istiqama, he said, he mentioned a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saddidu wa qaribu wa abshiru fa innahu lan yudkhil al-jannata ahadan amaluhu. يعني سددوا, be on the mark. وقاربوا, if you can't hit the mark dead on, at least try to be near to it. Do the best you can. وأبشروا, and accept the good news if you do so. فإنه لن يدخل الجنة أحدا عمله. And know that indeed no one of you would be admitted into paradise by his deeds. That is very important. It's not just your deeds. You have to do the deeds, but don't think that that's what you can rely upon. And the hadith has a long discussion, but yani we don't have the time right now. And then he said also, yani important point concerning istiqama. He said that istiqama is connected to the speech and the actions and the conditions of the human being and the intentions. Well, istiqama fiha, fal istiqamatu fiha, yani in your speech and in your action and your intentions. Well, istiqama fiha, yani وقوعها لله وبالله وعلى أمر الله. يعني الاستقامة in your speech and actions and intentions, it is that it occurs, that thing happens لله, for the sake of Allah. وبالله بعون الله, with the help of Allah. وعلى أمر الله, in accordance with what Allah has commanded. يعني that the person does it purely for the sake of Allah. They do it with help from Allah. We can't be successful without help from Allah. and they do it in accordance with what Allah has commanded. He said some of those people who have knowledge, acquaintance with these matters, they said, Kun sahib al-istiqama, wa la talib al-karama. Kun sahib al-istiqama, wa la talib al-kirama. Yani be the person, the sahib al-istiqama, the person who has, yani istiqama, uprightness in the deen, not the one who is seeking karama. Yani seeking prestige, honor, respect. Yani don't do what you're doing just so you can be honored, so that you can have a high place of honor and respect and prestige. But rather, be sahib al-istiqama, be a person who is doing this, all of what you say and do, yani purely for the sake of Allah alone. And then he said, yani, because فَإِنَّ النَّفْسَكَ مُتَحَرِّكْ فِي طَلَبِ الْكِرَامَةِ وَرَبُّكَ يُطَالِبُكَ بِالْإِسْتِقَامَةِ. Because it is your nafs that is in motion, seeking honor and prestige. But it is your Rabb who has required from you not al-kirama, but rather al-istiqama. Yani people seek karama, why? Because of the nafs. But we should seek al-istiqama, for this is what Allah has required of us. He said, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, may Allah, yani, qaddas Allah ta'ala ruhahu, he said, a'azamu al-kirama luzum al-istiqama. Yani the greatest kirama is sticking to istiqama. Yani whoever wants honor, the greatest honor is in adhering to al-istiqama. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah. Okay, the time is up, pretty much. I mean, we have maybe 4 minutes. There's a footnote in the English translation of the book. It's not from the original speech of Sheikh Abdulaziz ibn Baz on this topic at the university. There's a footnote in the English translation of the book. It's not in the Arabic because it wasn't originally a part of this speech, but it's from Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah. And the translator of this book that we are reading from, he included it in a footnote. And when I read it, I said, I have to find the Arabic because it's tremendous. Yani what he wrote there, I thought it was tremendous. Alhamdulillah, I was fortunate to find yani a place where Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz said, Al-Hirs ala al-Istiqama. Yani being persistent, insistent, yani diligent, eagerly seeking al-istiqama. He, after praising Allah and asking for salat on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family, his companions, and those who follow his guidance, he said this subject of istiqama is a tremendous, magnificent subject. فَجَدِيرُ بِكُلِّ مُؤْمِنٍ وَكُلِّ مُؤْمِنَ الْإِنَايَةُ بِالْإِسْتِقَامَةِ. So it is befitting of every believing man and every believing woman to give care to this matter of al-istiqama. Yani that he said in that speech, he said that this is from the shurut, from the shart of the help of Allah, is istiqama, that we have istiqama. He said here, he said in this note here, he says that it is befitting of the believer, man and woman, to have care for istiqama, وَالْحِرْصَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ فِي جَمِيعِ الْأَوْقَاتِ, and that our diligence, our insistence, our eagerness for it has to be in all times, day and night, public and private, in every situation or circumstance. Yani istiqama has to be foremost in our minds. وَسُؤَالُ اللَّهِ جَلَّ وَعَلَى وَالدَّرَاعَةُ إِلَيْهِ بِطَلَبِ التَّوْفِيقِ لِذَلِكَ. And that we ask Allah جَلَّ وَعَلَى, and that we implore Him, yani that we beg Him humbly and submissively that He grant us success in achieving this istiqama. Yani, it's not a matter that you just try to be upright. Rather, you have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, He said, you have to beg Allah in humble submission. And then He said, and O you, Abdullah, yani servant of Allah, worship of Allah, it is incumbent upon you to be eager and diligent in seeking the khayr, and to hasten towards it, and to stick to it, and to be cautious, and to be wary, and to be warned from evil, and to distance yourself from it. And to distance yourself from the means to it, and the causes that lead to it. And it is incumbent upon you to ask your Rabb, to beg Him that He grant you, yani a gift, a favor, of al-awn wa tawfiq, yani the help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the success in being able to achieve al-istiqama. This dunya, it is the dar al-ibtila wal-imtihan. Yani this dunya, the life in this world, is the place of test. And it is also dar al-amal wal-i'adad lil-akhirah. And this world is also the place of doing deeds and preparation for the next life. That's what this world is. The place of tests. It's the place where you're required to work in order to prepare yourself for the next life. Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who's created the creation to worship Him. And He has sent the messengers and has revealed the books. And He has given you intellects and hearing and sight. Getting to help you. But He has also given you the test of the shayateen from the human beings and the jinn, and the test of the shahawat, desires. Don't follow your desires. فَالْوَاجِبُ. So what is obligatory is to use that which Allah has given us to protect ourselves in order to abandon that which is harmful. From that which we are tested with, the trials in this world, and also to protect ourselves from the callers to evil and the shayateen from the human beings and the jinn. Indeed, this world is the place of work, of deeds. It is not the place of the blessings and the bounties. Walakin, rather, it is the place of deeds, and it is the place of ghurur, deception. And then he mentions the ayah from the Quran, Surah Luqman, 31st Surah, 33rd ayah, فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا وَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ. And don't let the life of this world deceive you. Yani the riches, the enjoyments, the pleasures. Don't be deceived by this, and don't be deceived by yani. Don't let the shaitan deceive you in reference to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, the pleasures of this world are little in comparison to the rewards of the next life. And the Shaykh also mentioned from Surah Tawbah, 9th Surah, 38th Ayat, the saying of Allah, أَرَضِيتُم بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا مِنَ الْآخِرَةِ. Yani, are you more pleased with the life of this world than the next life? فَمَا مَتَاعُ حَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. For indeed, yani the pleasures, the enjoyments of the life of this world are little, are insignificant in comparison to that which is in the next life. Then the Shaykh says, so what is obligatory upon the mukallafin? Mukallafin, yani those who have been held responsible to fulfill the commands of Allah and avoid His prohibitions. What is obligatory upon them, men or women, is that they be diligent and eager in seeking istiqamah. What is obligatory is that we pay attention, that we give our ear and listen to the haqq, and then to act upon it by fulfilling that thing, the things that Allah has made obligatory upon us, and abandoning those things that He has forbidden us. And to know that it is legislated, shara'iyatul ikthar min al khayrat al mustahabba, that it is legislated in the sharia that we do more and more of the good deeds, the things that are loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because these things strengthen iman and increase it. Because these things what? Strengthen iman and increase it. And this is critical, that whoever has iman should not be content with their iman, but they should be concerned about strengthening their iman and increasing it. Because the doing of more khairat, mustahabba, they are not obligatory, but they are loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what strengthens iman and increases it. And distancing oneself from those things which perhaps, yani قَدْ تَدُرُّ الْعَبْدِ, maybe it could harm the person, maybe not, but it might harm you. Distance yourself from this. Not it definitely will harm you, but it perhaps might harm you. Distance yourself from it. وَإِنْ كَانَتْ مُبَاحَةً أَوْ مَكْرُوهَةً. Even if it's something that's permissible, but if it could cause harm to you, leave it. Even if it's something that's makruh, it's not haram, but it's makruh, leave it. Distance yourself from that. وَإِجْتَهِدْ الْعَبْدِ. And this coming to the end of what the Shaykh said, وَإِجْتَهِدْ الْعَبْدِ فِي تَرْكُ كُلِّ مَا يَضُرُّهُ. And that we must strive. The abd, the worship of Allah, must strive to abandon everything that will harm him. And everything that he fears from it, it will cause a deficiency in his deeds. Or that it will cause neglectfulness of one's deeds, like spending a lot of time on the internet, on the telephone, on the whatever, I don't know, whatever they have today that people spend their time with. This will indeed cause a defect in your deeds. It will cause you to neglect your deeds. وَإِنْ كَانَ مُبَاحًا. Even if it's something that's permissible. And then he mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'll just read the translation for the sake of time. Surah Fussilat. Fussilat is 40, 31 Surah 30 and 31 and 32. That indeed those who say our Rabb is Allah, and then they istaqamu. تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا يخافوا ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وأبشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون. Then the angels will descend upon them and they will say to them, don't fear and don't grieve. يعني don't fear what is ahead and don't grieve about what you are leaving behind, and accept the good news of Jannah which has been with which you have been promised. And then angels say, we are your awliya in this world, في حياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة, and in the next life, meaning in the grave and in the resurrection. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَعُونَ نُزُلًا مِّن غَفُورٍ رَّحِيمٍ. And then there is for you that which your souls desire, يعني in the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and for you is that which you, whatever you call for, and this is a favor and a bounty and a blessing from the one who is forgiving and the one who is merciful. From the one who is forgiving and he is merciful. Meaning, the Shaykh said, at the time of death, the angels will come to you. And at the time of al-Ba'th, wal-Nushur, resurrection. And in the graves. And this is a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon them. And then he said in Surah Al-Ahqaf, yani the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Same thing, those who say, Allah is our Rabb. And then they are upright, then there will be no fear upon them, nor shall they grieve. أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ الْخَالِدِينَ فِيهَا جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And these are the أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ, the people whose place is Jannah. Jannah has been prepared for them. And they will remain in it forever as a reward for what they used to do. Yani not as a payment for what they used to do, but because they used to do good deeds, as a result of that, Allah yani saw fit to favor them, to have mercy upon them, to forgive them their shortcomings, and to grant them Jannah, which is purely His favor and His bounty, and it's not anything that anybody has paid for. And then finally the Shaykh closes with Surah An-Nahl. I think it's 16th Surah, 97th Ayat, saying of Allah, whoever does good deeds, whether they are male or female, but they are a believer, then we will grant them the good life in this world, and we will also yani reward them with a reward for the best of what they used to do. Yani a good life in the dunya and happiness and success in the akhirah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Barakallahu fikum. So yani, let me just make one point, and that is that, brothers and sisters, I ask you, but I ask myself first, yani read this, what the Shaykh said here, especially al-istiqamah, take it to heart. Even if you read it every day, wallahi, you will not lose out. Even if you read it every day.